WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. And it's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth, Charlie Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that. But
we have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us. Sir, how are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome and good evening. You are tuned into Monday Night Talk on the eve of Christmas. Well, it's kind of on the eve. We're a week away. And Festivus. And Kwanzaa. And any other holiday you want to shoehorn in there. My name is indeed Kevin Tachi. And I already have a room full of people. I love that. When I walk in and there's a room full of people ready to sit down.
Socially distant, though.
Yes, yes. And I, as you see, I am wearing my mask. I am. It's not over my mouth, but I am wearing my mask.
Just so frankly, folks, it looks a little silly on your chin.
Yeah, but I'm ready. I'm ready to kind of pop it right up at a moment's notice.
Okay.
But we're 6 feet apart, so we're good here.
We are.
As you've already heard, the first hour right there. It's already over. No. State Rep Josh Cotler will be joining us. The State House Report. And also we'll
glad to be here.
Get an idea as to where he's at with the holiday season.
Behind, I would say, candidly.
But also, you serve on some, you are chair of a couple of key committees. We'll get your take on it.
Yes.
As we've been doing, as the regular cavalcade of state reps and state senators come in, we get their take on, we're going to have an open gubernatorial race.
Yes.
Get your take on that. And other things. And then we have Richard Rosen, who's going to serve as co-host for the first hour. But we like to get a pulse on the finger of as far as business goes. We usually check with him, but he knows a lot of business owners, and we get his take on it. I'm already seeing steam coming out of his ears. That's usually not good. I think you'd be happy to get a 23-foot Christmas tree in one of your restaurants. You happy?
I am extremely happy to be here.
Okay,
even if it's in the co-host position.
You just push me over anytime you want and take over. I thought I was going to have to send in an emergency crew the last time you sat and hosted the show.
I was horrified.
You were.
I was absolutely horrified for the first 10 minutes.
I heard they were mopped. There was actually a big puddle on the floor because you had sweated out for 45 minutes.
To put me in a studio alone, live, and have your producer tell me that the guy who's supposed to be our first guest didn't answer the phone, it was like, uh-oh, what do I do now? But it went okay.
It went okay.
Yeah, it was fine.
Trust.
I'm ready to do it again.
Trust in the process.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I want you to do it. You're like teasing me about the opening. You're like, I have these people are has-beens. Get them off the opening of the show.
I mean, we've taken a poll. There's been an
official
poll. All
right, four people isn't really a poll, is it?
Well, it is when it's unanimous that you need to change it.
I do. Yeah. I, it's long overdue, and it needs to be shortened as well. We're going to find some clever takes.
We'll try to provide some this evening.
I mean, a Representative Cutler should clearly be in it. I mean, he is...
It's okay. You know, I've been doing the show for, 9 years. I haven't made the opening yet.
He is certainly not a has-been.
Not bitter at all.
It's well over 10 years. No?
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Some kind of number.
Someday.
I remember going to the State House when he got elected. You were there filming it. I was there that day.
Hour number two, just so we can tease that before we find out what's happening one final time out on the roadways, Brockton Mayor Robert Sullivan will join us for a nice, robust 35 minutes. Talk about everything from what's happening in the city, economic development, the new year that's ahead. He'll get inaugurated in 2 weeks, 2 weeks from today. Pretty cool. We'll chat with him. And then Captain Sandy Yon. Do either one of you know who that is?
I know because you told me.
Yeah, I know.
You are very excited about this.
That's a good get. You may not think so, but I think it is.
Well, I think so. I mean, I just have never watched the show before, but I...
She's a... Bravo TV has the kings of reality shows, whether it's Real Housewives or folks who are out in the water on expensive super yachts. Captain Sandy Ahn actually has been on Bravo TV for many seasons. I want to say it's like 5 or 6. Below Deck Mediterranean. And so they do... The whole idea of Below Deck is you get to see behind the scenes of folks who are deckhands and cooks and dealing with folks who are, you know, charter these particular boats, and you get to see the hijinks.
So I'm really into Vanderpump Rules, but...
Hold a thought. Because right now, we have to check in to find out what's happening out on the roadways. Being brought to you on this end by Brennan Smoke Shop, with locations in Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, New Bedford, Weymouth, and now Hudson, New Hampshire. We check in with Renee Hamilton as to what's happening out there. Renee, one final time, how are the roadways?
Well, Kevin, pretty good on the expressway because a crash just cleared, and this report is paid for by Business Roundtable. On the southbound side of the expressway, we had a crash at Columbia Road, really locking things up. That just cleared, so it should start getting better, but for now, you will still be stop and go from the tunnel to Columbia Road. After that, it's all cleared down to the split. The lower end of 93, that's still busy getting to Route 24. Northbound, the expressway is stop and go from Adams Street up past Neponset Circle, then better up into the tunnel. 24 southbound, just slows coming off of 93, no other issues there. It's a similar story on Route 3. Southbound volume just busy in Braintree coming off 93, but it clears before Union Street, and other than that, Route 3 is wide open. On the Cape, 6 and 28 are both moving along fine. Americans are facing higher prices from the gas pump to the grocery store. Tax hikes on America's businesses would further weaken the economy, paid for by the Business Roundtable. Traffic on the nines every morning. I'm Renee in the WATD Traffic Center.
Hey, it's Jeff from Brennan Smoke Shop. We got some really cool holiday gifts for you this year. Designer cones. They come in rainbow, paisley, butterfly, smiley faces, pot leaves on them. Really cool. Got these Kush cards. They're holiday cards with a little holiday bat. The bat's got like holly on it. Really cute. Candles and sprays are always good. They actually work. Brennan's accessories. Tray, grinder, roller, bat box. All with the Brennan's logo on there. Mug pipe. We got these cool mug pipes. It's a coffee mug with a pipe. It's like in it. I got these really cool rubber stoppers that you put onto your cart and you can put it through your water pipe. You can put your cart through your water pipe. And this year's most popular holiday gift from Brennan's Smoke Shop is Riot smell-proof pouches, because you don't want your boss to smell your trunk. Brennan's Smoke Shop, the best smoke shop in Massachusetts and New Hampshire. Customers must be 21 years of age or older, and proper ID is required.
Download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
Yes, we do return, and indeed, those podcasts are up to date. I actually want to give kudos to Larry Nelson, who's fantastic at getting me once the show is over, he gets me a file of the program, and we're able to kind of trim it down, clean it up, and put it up for your perusal and listening to wherever you are in the world. So thumbs up to Larry. Now, before we slid into traffic, Mr. Rosen was going to make a comment in regards to Bravo TV, because I was teasing him because he was in West Hollywood not too long ago taking pictures at my significant other's favorite restaurant.
We just watched two different shows, that's all. I'm into Vanderpump Rules.
Are you? I bet you couldn't name 4 people. You know what? 3 people.
Okay, let's go back down to 1, because I don't remember the name of the guy that my daughter kept saying. That's the guy that's the star of the show or the manager or whatever. And he walked by me, and I said, hey, whatever his name was. I said, geez, I love your show. I watch it all the time. He looked at me and went, really? I said, no, I've never heard of it before. I said, but will you take a picture with my daughter? So, but I have watched it since.
It's evolved.
They actually had...
Wow, I should say that.
They had a marathon on cable that I watched one day while I was at the office for several hours.
Yeah.
And I figured it out.
Yeah, because my missus watches that channel, that was the one show I refused to do, the Real Housewives, where they're just bickering. And, you know, these rich women who have to find reasons to kind of, you know, take each other down a peg. But this one was interesting. It had a bunch of young folks and... Yeah, they're out celebrating, you know, out enjoying West Hollywood, and I don't know, just something jived. Anyways, not important, because it's just cool that you said I had the pictures and I had to tease you about it. So
yes,
but connecting the dots because we have somebody on from Bravo TV. It's cool.
I think it's pretty cool that you do.
Indeed. Sorry about that, Rep.
That's all right. Yeah, maybe just think of, and this is totally a different topic, but I just finished a series. Maybe your listeners would be interested. For All Mankind. It was on, I think it's on Apple TV. Really cool. What if about the NASA and the space race? And I thought it was a pretty neat series.
How do you have time to do that?
Well, you know, at night I have my phone or my TV, and I like to check out a new series. And I just finished that one, which is I always appreciate a good recommendation. So maybe your listeners or other folks might appreciate.
Yeah, I'm still plodding through Ozark right now.
Well, I'm waiting for the new season of Ozark to come out.
Yeah, 4, right? And Cobra Kai, that's the other one I'm waiting for.
Yes, both on my list.
Cobra Kai should be good, because you got some folks changing teams, and you're adding to, and you're going to be bringing in the bad guy from Karate Kid 3, the one who is...
I never watched that one. So.
You never watched that one? I stopped after that one, because then they brought in another Karate Kid. I'm like, all right, what are you guys doing? You couldn't do it. Anyways, well, glad to have you here to share your legislative moment. We're not here to do any kind of end of the year wrap up, but I want to get a take. I know you have been doing a lot of work in regards to the committees that you currently chair, as far as your workforce development and labor. And where would you want to start out?
Well, there's lots going on, Kevin. Before I jump in, I want to just I want to take this time to recognize and congratulate one of our colleagues here on the South Shore, Representative Claire Cronin, who may have heard or read, is now just been confirmed as the ambassador to Ireland.
That's pretty
which
cool.
Which is amazing and really well-deserved, and we're really all proud of her here on the South Shore, and also as a classmate and colleague of hers, really proud of her, and she's going to do great things. So pretty neat to see someone you've worked with, you know, being confirmed by the United States Senate. So congratulations to Representative Claire Cronin.
You two kids hung out at Suffolk or something, didn't you?
Not at Suffolk, but we came in, we got elected the same year. So
that's right, because we actually
you guys were there on
cable show and
day, yes.
The bullpen.
Yes, Claire and I shared the bullpen,
the basement that like you could never find.
Yep. And now she's going off to become the ambassador of Ireland. So pretty impressive. So congratulations.
Yeah, and she's worked hard and she's done her due diligence. And interesting enough, because her district has changed a bit. I think she's losing Easton now. I don't know how that's going to work. Hopefully it's something I may ask Mayor Sullivan when he comes
on.
There,
I think that it's some good news. I think in anticipation of Representative Cronin receiving that confirmation, I think they redistricted her seat to create an opportunity for a majority-minority seat in the city of Brockton, which would be incumbent-free. So an opportunity for a person from the city of Brockton, potentially a person of color, to come into the legislature, which would help to diversify and bring in new voices to the legislature. So in her leaving, she's creating an opportunity for someone as well. So
that was my question. Is that going to set off a fight in the House to take her position?
So that's an open seat. So
I don't mean her seat. I mean her position.
Oh, her position in the legislature. I wouldn't say it would be a fight. I mean, you know, there's probably some folks
jockeying into place
who are certainly well qualified for that. It does not include myself. So.
I was just going to ask if you were
no,
one of them.
No worries. I like my current role. Thank you.
But last time you were here, we did talk about your district changing and how it was. Evolving.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to actually. I will come next time if I'm fortunate to be reelected. I will actually represent right where we are right now, this ground here in this part of Marshfield.
Wow.
So yes,
that is pretty cool.
Precinct 4. Yep.
But you also lose.
So there's some shifts around. I picked up a precinct in Marshfield and lost a precinct in Hanson, and picked up a precinct in Duxbury as well. So a little bit of shuffling around the edges, but still glad to represent all three of the communities that I do, plus pick up a little bit of Marshfield and a little bit of Halifax.
So as we cruise into the end of the first half of your legislative term, how have things been working for you?
Things have been work. Well, work is probably the appropriate word, because that is the committee that I chair, the Labor and Workforce Development Committee. And it's been an eventful year. You know, probably people... I don't have to tell anyone, any of your listeners, you know, labor issues or the workforce is really some of the key issues, you know, that are facing our economy. If, you know, ask any, I know Richard runs a small business, ask anyone, you know, finding qualified help is a challenge for many small businesses and big businesses. We've seen, if you look at the data, you know, record number of people because of, you know, a variety of reasons, some of which have to do with COVID, have decided to leave the workforce. And so that creates, you know, issues for businesses looking for qualified workers. You know, we've seen the baby boom generation, many of them are now approaching retirement age. And so that's creating, a shortage of younger workers. We've seen, unfortunately, many women not reentering the workforce. I think that has to do with, you know, child care issues and other things that, you know, as policymakers, we probably need to do a better job of tackling. But so we're seeing these labor shortages, and it's having an impact on, you know, just go around the district. You can see, you know, restaurants where they aren't able to maybe open all the number of hours, or a local store that's closed certain times. So finding qualified workers is a real challenge. And I think we certainly recognize that in the legislature, and we've been working hard to put more funds and resources towards workforce development. Really reskilling and upskilling workers is the key thing, because we are, you know, we do have a shortage of workers. And so giving those who are in the workforce the skills that they need to transition upward and, you know, and upskills, as we like to say, is paramount. And so we've put a lot of funds from the recent budget and from the ARPA bill that we just did towards workforce development in all its facets, you know, across the spectrum, whether it's, you know, creating a new workforce development pipeline for offshore wind, you know, which we anticipate is going to be a burgeoning new industry here in Massachusetts, or, you know, trying to get people into our human services sector, because, you know, it's such an important one, and so much need there. Really across the spectrum, though, trying to find ways we can train incumbent workers to have the skills they need to meet the demand for jobs. And there's a lot of good jobs out there. So, you know, we need to match up the workers with the employers.
Where do the trades come into the conversation for your committee?
So the trades are a big part of what we do. In fact, we just got back recently. We took a field trip out to the Carpenters training site in Millbury, Massachusetts, and seeing what they're doing, the kinds of training programs that they're offering, really impressive. And I speak as someone who's not handy at all, but to see, you know, just learning about the mathematics that goes into carpentry, you know, things you don't think about. I always tell my son to learn math, and he's like, why should I learn math, Dad? I'll never need it. And, you know, and these folks learning carpentry, you know, the calculus that's involved in just creating a stairwell.
Yep.
It's really impressive. So, but obviously the labor is a big part of our committee. There's a lot of issues going on. You know, we want to make sure we diversify our apprenticeship programs. We want to make sure that when we see this trend towards offsite prefabrication, that we're making sure that we're protecting our workers. Wage theft is a huge issue in the construction industry and a lot of industries, and we're working on a bill in my committee to tackle the issue of wage theft and try to clamp down on that.
Define, if you will, drill down a bit on what wage theft is. I know what it might be.
So there's a lot of, it's a broad term, and I'm not talking about like a stick up here. I want
no,
your
no,
wages.
No, but it could
be
something.
It's when you have an employer, you know, obviously I want to preface this by saying the vast, you know, number of employers are doing the right thing and doing right by their workers, but there are some unscrupulous individuals that are taking advantage of workers, and for a variety of reasons. Maybe that they, you know, English isn't their first language, or maybe their, you know, immigration status is unclear. Maybe that, they're a person of color or a woman or someone who has less experience in that particular field. It could be a variety of reasons, but we're seeing, you know, a number of instances in people not being paid their fair wages, being denied some of the benefits they're due. And, you know, the Attorney General enforces these, and she does a very good job. Her office does an admirable job of enforcing that and policing that. But it's so prevalent in certain fields that it really becomes hard to police. And so it's important, I think, as legislators that we take action. And so we've been working with a coalition of business and labor groups on a bill, a wage theft bill. And I hope to actually release something, soon. I don't want to put a firm time on it, but very soon, I think a good bill that will do a lot to address some of the issues that we've seen with wage theft. And also misclassification of workers is another thing, where we see people who should be treated as employees and given those rights and benefits, but who were treated as independent contractors.
Interesting.
So those are some of the issues we're looking at.
Richard, did you want to ask a question? No? All right.
I think he's right on. He's extremely bright, works hard, and I love listening to him. That's why we should listen to him.
Okay.
Let's keep this guy on. I like him.
Well, that makes a good co-host, you know?
Yes. But I did want to, I'm happy to answer questions, Kevin. I did want to mention for folks listening that we did recently pass big ARPA funding piece of legislation. People may have read about that. And a couple of pieces that I wanted to mention that are relevant, I think, for folks here and listening out at home, is that we included $500 million to help to replenish our unemployment insurance trust fund system, which we know, you know, from the during the pandemic, I'm sure everybody knows someone who was impacted by that and had to rely on our unemployment system to help, you know, get by during the past, you know, year and a half. It's had obviously a fiscal impact as well. If you look at our UI system in January of 2020, right before the outbreak, we had a balance, a cushion of about $2 billion. Flash forward a year later, and we're underwater by $2 billion. So a huge, dramatic swing right. because of all, you know, the claims. And it obviously, it worked. The system worked. We had people who needed assistance through unemployment insurance, and the system and paid that out to keep people, you know, people's families afloat at a pretty important time. But it's obviously it had a fiscal impact, and so we're working hard to try to make some long-term reforms to make sure that that fund is fiscally solvent, so that it's there for the next crisis, and that it doesn't become too big a burden on our employers, and they're the ones who pay for the unemployment insurance trust fund. So we put $500 million of our ARPA funds towards that to help replenish that to reduce a little bit the burden on our business community, and we're still looking at that. And in fact, I chair a commission, the Long-Term Unemployment Insurance Trust Fund Study Commission. It's quite a mouthful. Looking at ways we can try to find some longer-term solutions and changes to and reforms to make sure that that is sustainable over the long course.
I have to ask you this. This is, you know, knowing that we're seeing Omicron being the latest variants to be headline, whether it's locally in Massachusetts, nationally, globally. Any whispers from your colleagues up at the State House that we may have to consider certain measures, whether it's mask mandates, whether it's state of emergency, and, you know, or is it a matter of just, you know what, plod along? Because you look back a year ago, we were getting regular updates. The governor was giving regular updates. We were watching the numbers climbing and going up and down. There was more things going up. Oh, you could have less than 50 people. It kind of seems that things are super relaxed now, even though we're seeing numbers climb and knowing that our health system may be overrun and exhausted by this latest surge.
Yeah, no, it's certainly a concern, Kevin. And I guess a couple of things I would say. Number one, just in the vaccination side, I think it's important, you know, just encourage, like, as everyone else, to encourage you to get your vaccination. I want to give kudos to the folks down at the Marshfield Fairgrounds, the town of Marshfield and Plymouth County Sheriff. They've sort of partnered up and done a great job of running that vaccination site. I recently got my booster, and it was easy as can be. Really well run, well done partnership there. So thank you for and this number of folks who are staffing that and some volunteers and such. We appreciate all the time and effort that goes into that. To answer your question, I don't think we're going to see state of emergencies back. I think that's certainly not likely, knock on wood. I think Governor Baker, has said publicly that, he's not, he's putting the emphasis on the vaccination programs and rather than in further mandates. It is concerning the levels that we're seeing. I think there was some good news out just today from the Mass Department of Public Health that of the folks who have tested positive, the seriousness, that's not the right term, but it's not as severe we're seeing in terms of the symptoms of those who are
like
vaccinated
right.
versus those who are unvaccinated. So I think that reinforces the need to get vaccinated because, it doesn't totally protect you, but it does help significantly reduce the chances of a more serious case of COVID. So certainly I think that's hopefully the direction people are going in.
It has become the pandemic of the unvaccinated. I mean, you know that I'm a strong believer in getting your vaccination, getting your booster shot, and it's disheartening for these people that won't get a vaccination. It's become so political. I mean,
this thing on my face is political. I mean,
every person listening to this show right now has been vaccinated before they went to school. We don't have any more polio. We don't have any more smallpox. Yep. People say, I don't know what's in it. Well, you're sitting there drinking a cocktail. You don't know what's in the vodka. They did it too soon. They didn't do it too soon. They tweaked the thing 20 years. It's very aggravating to me, these people that don't get vaccinated. But
what's in your Schweppes, Kevin?
Yeah, you don't know.
It's called black cherry seltzer water.
Ooh.
Yeah.
But, it's just people need to get vaccinated, and this thing will go away at some point. It's it's not going to be any different than getting a flu shot. You know, I got my booster shot. It took like 5 minutes. It was simple. I didn't even feel
any side effects, any harm.
I had zero, okay. None. It was.
I know people who did. I did not have any side effects. Yeah. I was.
But again,
knock on wood.
Like what Josh says, the people that are getting sick now aren't getting. People that are getting COVID now aren't getting as sick as they were before. I just read a thing a little while ago about the Moderna vaccination and how much more effective the booster shot is against this new Omicron, whatever you want to call it, virus. Yeah. It's just discouraging that people won't get a vaccination.
What are you going to do? There's not much you can do. Would you say that this pandemic probably was the leading reason why the governor decided not to seek a third term?
Oh, boy. That's a good question. And I'm certainly not in the brain or the mind of the governor.
No, I'm not looking for you to give us any hidden clues here. But in your own,
I'm sure it played a role. I mean, it's got to be it's wearying every day to be out doing that. I think he's done a good job. I haven't agreed with 100% of his decisions, but I give the governor high marks overall, and I'm sure that must have played a role. Like, how could it not, right?
So when you look at this particular race, I mean, what are you hearing as far as, are you hearing the same thing we are as to who could be some of the leading candidates?
Yeah, well, no. Well, first, let me just say, I want to just say, for the record, I really appreciate the service of Governor Baker. I think, as a Democrat, I appreciate a Republican who's willing to work across the aisle and be respectful and civil. And I think, even in the times when we disagreed, whether it's the legislature and the executive branch, he was always civil and respectful of the role that we played. And, I think he does it the right way. And, we have a two-party system here in the United States, and, that requires two parties to work together. And I think Governor Baker has always did a good job of always keeping that in mind, even in times where he might have disagreed. He was never disagreeable, if you understand that.
Yep.
So I really appreciate that, and I appreciate his service. I'm sure it must have been very difficult the last, year and a half. But, throughout his term, it's not easy to govern. I represent one small district, and I, occasionally see that. And so to represent the whole state and to work the very divergent interests is not easy. So I really appreciate his service, and I wish he and his wife well. And I hope to get to eventually, after their term ends, get to, earn some well-earned rest. So obviously, we're going to have a gubernatorial race. I'm hopeful that Maura Healey will jump in the race. I'm a big fan of hers. We had her down in the district recently this summer and got a chance to talk with her. And I think she's a very impressive person and has done a lot of good work with on some of the labor and wage issues that we just talked about and a lot of other issues. And we'll see. I don't have any particular insider knowledge, but I think there's a decent chance that she does, and I hope she does. So we will find out.
Okay. Let's talk holiday in the district. Have you had a chance to visit parts of your district and celebrate?
I actually went to one of my favorite events of the year yesterday. What day is today? Today's Monday. Yesterday, the Red Acres Christmas in Hanson, which is a nice local holiday tradition in the town of Hanson. It's been going on for, I think, 67 years.
And stuff?
Exactly. It's a nice community event. It's for the whole public. It's put on by a local Hanson family, sort of extended family. And they have, a campfire and songs and some animals. And it's a nice local hometown tradition that I always look forward to. We're not able to have it last year.
Right.
So it was nice to have it back this year. And I'm really grateful to the families that put that together. It's a lot of work on their part, but it's nice to see folks at that. So that's one of the nice traditions that I missed last year. Glad to have it back, and I can't believe it's a week away from Christmas, and I still have a lot of shopping to do. So it's gonna be challenging.
favorite part for you about the holidays?
Oh, I just love I love seeing the pictures of my kids, the faces of my kids when if I get them the right gift, and they really light up, and I think that's kind of a magical thing. So
I can't believe how quick your kids have grown.
I know.
You gone. Oh my God, Charlie's already 18.
I know. I just went to my son's first high school basketball game, which is a trip. But it's pretty cool. So, how about yourself, Kevin? What do you want for Christmas?
Peace on earth. Can we all just get along and get our boosters and wear your mask and be better in hopefully 6 months to a year? So I like. How about you, Mr. Rosen? Holidays?
I agree entirely with what you just said. I mean, can we all just get along and
get
a vaccination and move on?
It's not that hard. Yeah, it definitely isn't.
The holiday season is it's fun to see family, and people are generally in a better mood, happier mood. At least for a week or two.
How about Festivus? Anybody want to air any grievances? It's a couple of days away.
I don't have any grievances.
No grievances at all?
Nah. I'm good.
Feet to strength, no?
Okay. I'm good.
Anything you want to say in closing to the fine folks?
Yes, I do. Flocky, knocky, nihilification.
Is that some kind of a code for help?
It's a code word, yes. I was just texted, and I don't know what it means, but hopefully...
Ooh, and you repeated it live on air?
Yeah, I know. I probably gave
you're
in trouble.
A very brave person.
Yeah. No, just Merry Christmas to those who celebrate, and happy holidays. I know Hanukkah's over with, but wish everyone a great holiday season, and I probably won't be back on before the new year, so also wish everyone a happy new year. Excited to kind of turn the clock and look for a fresh start in 2022. It's hard to believe.
I just got a text message from someone from the law firm.
The law firm? Oh.
it's not Coulter.
I think I'm meeting one of those members right after this.
Are you really?
Yes.
Yeah, I got to get in touch with him. I know that the gentleman that he's working for, Senator Markey, is working on some legislation for local TV. Let me try to see if we can lure him on the radio program and talk a little bit about that. But I want to thank you for all that you do, and you and all your colleagues, the hard work, even throughout this pandemic, still being accessible to the folks, whether it's here on the radio station, broadcasting, coming to Broadcast House, or doing something virtually. We definitely appreciate your willingness to talk.
My pleasure.
And we'll figure out what we can do to get you on the intro, the new intro. We'll have a contest. Why don't we do this? We're going to step aside, and when we come back, Richard Rosen, we'll isolate him and have a conversation with him. You are tuned into Monday Night Talk here at 95.9 WATD.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
Each year, about 1 out of 2 men and 1 out of 3 women will develop cancer. But there's good news. Today's cancer survival odds are much better than 2 or even 3 years ago. Things move that fast. So if you're diagnosed, be sure to have someone in your corner who is on top of all the latest cancer treatments and techniques, the latest research, the newest equipment, all the newest medicines available through clinical trials. And speaking of corners, here's more good news. Advanced cancer care is now just around the corner. The Green Cancer Center at Signature Healthcare treats patients locally, with all oncology services and specialties conveniently housed under one roof. The center is affiliated with Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, so you'll be seen by Harvard Medical Faculty physicians and oncologists. The Green Cancer Center at Signature Healthcare, in affiliation with Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. Cancer has just met its match. Find out why at mysignaturecare.org/cancercare.
By the middle of the week, so much news has come your way, you need your own team to sort it out. Lucky for you, there's Jared Valenzuela and the JV team to talk about the things you've heard and catch you up on some things you might not know.
I'm Jared Valenzuela. Join me and my guests as we have fun with current events and try to put things into perspective each week. Sponsored by Representative David DeCoste and Corey Welch of Boom Realty. Catch the JV team every Wednesday night at 6:15 here on 95.9 WATD.
Find Monday Night Talk on Facebook and share your opinions. Go to 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk.
All right, we are back. Hey, remember, next hour, Brockton Mayor Robert Sullivan and Captain Sandy Yon from Bravo TV's Below Deck Mediterranean. But right now, time for a little one-on-one with Mr. Richard Rosen, who... He doesn't just own one business. He doesn't just own two, but he's a successful real estate developer as well. How has 2021 treated you? Not only the two businesses in downtown Whitman, but also real estate as a whole.
Well, the real estate market, as everybody knows, is just through the roof. It's crazy. The problem is that. It's not working the way that it should be, but there's no inventory out there. And, you know, I feel for some of these younger first-time buyers that can't find anything to buy. And then you have these people that say, oh, I'm going to sell my house because I can make a fortune. Well, yeah, but where are you going to go? But the real estate market for me has been terrific. I mean, I have a couple of developments going. I've got an absolutely beautiful subdivision going in Carver. I'm finishing up a condo project in Whitman. I've got some stuff in East Bridgewater. Real estate business has been really, really good. And, of course, the values of real estate have just gone crazy. So the real estate business has been good. Restaurant business has been challenging. It's better than it was a year ago, a year and a half ago. So, I mean, we're doing numbers now that are pre-pandemic numbers. So, unfortunately, a lot of restaurants went out of business, and any restaurant that is still in business is doing really well because people just want to go out.
Yeah, it's a smaller pool.
It's much smaller. And as you know, we have been, throughout the pandemic, I was really strict with the way that we did things. We still don't have 100% of our furniture back in either restaurant. We haven't brought all the furniture back. We reconfigured the patio. We're still giving people a little bit more space than we did earlier on. But business has been terrific. And as you know, we stayed open at the pub the entire pandemic. I kept 13 people on payroll for takeout.
Yeah.
And we had been there 10 years prior to that. And our takeout business is good. Our takeout business is big. And like the representative was saying, finding help is an issue for, you know, not only the restaurant business, but every business. I mean, we're down a couple of people, but it has not forced us to have to close. We closed in this whole thing. We had to close one afternoon because of an employee situation. Not a COVID, but because we just couldn't staff. We have closed Mondays. We used to be open Mondays. We've closed just to give our employees some time off because it's, you know, I don't want to burn these people out. It's hard.
Is it tough to find good help these days for folks who have a vested interest in not, they're just not looking to live paycheck to paycheck?
Yeah, it's, again, we've been lucky. We have people that work in our restaurants that have been with us since we opened 12 years ago.
Hey, did you just have like a family holiday party, like a McGuigan's Pub family holiday party?
No, but it's going to, you heard us talking about it. It's in a couple of weeks.
Oh, okay.
And we have a number of employees that have been with us 12 years. That's unheard of. I mean, we have families that work. We have a mother that works there, and two of her children work there. We have a mother and a daughter. You know, and again, we've talked about this. You treat people the way you want to be treated, like family, and they stay. You treat them good, and they stay. So we haven't had a huge turnover of help, but we've had some people that have dropped off. And it's hard to find people. But, you know, it's not just restaurants. So the town of Whitman, all of a sudden, our rubbish didn't get picked up. You know, a couple of weeks ago, you had your recycling get picked up, but you didn't get your rubbish. So I said, I saw one of the DPW guys. Well, because that particular rubbish company is having a problem with employees driving the rubbish trucks. I mean, so it's just everybody in, I mean, it's everything in every business is affected by what's going on.
How concerned are you as a business owner that, you know, we're seeing numbers surge again? Yeah, it's, you know, folks, they're saying at this particular time that the Omicron variant isn't, if you are somebody, if there's a breakthrough, it's not as bad. And, you know, maybe you might be asymptomatic if you do test positive. Does that concern you at all that, you know, depending on how bad it gets and how overwhelmed our medical systems, our medical services and hospitals are when it comes to treating people, that it could have an effect on businesses?
I'm very concerned. I mean, being a small business owner and owning two restaurants, I don't want to have to go through this again. I remember standing there on March 16th looking at the governor speaking, and I'm looking at my employees crying because I'm saying, we have to close. We're not going to be open tomorrow. St. Patrick's Day, the busiest day of the year for both of our restaurants.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm very concerned. That's why I keep saying, just get the damn shot. I don't want to see. There are employees that can't withstand being out of work again. I mean, there's depression is huge now. Younger people, I feel bad for these younger people and anxiety and depression amongst the employees. And you can see it sometimes. I'm really concerned that it's going to have a really bad negative effect if we have to close down. But if we have to, we do. I mean, there's nothing else you can do. On the way down here, I just heard that Washington, D.C., the mayor of Washington, D.C., has instituted a mask policy starting tomorrow. So, you know, Michelle Wu did it in Boston starting, I think, January 15th. We don't want to go back there. We really don't want to go back there. It's not good for anybody or anything.
Yeah. Well, I think we're further advanced from the flatten the curve days.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that, those times?
Mm-hmm. Good times.
Yeah. Yep. Flatten the curve. We'll do it for 14 days. We'll be good.
Yeah.
What are you doing, though, in regardless of what ends up happening, and we could sit here and speculate all evening, what are you doing as far as holiday parties? Are you seeing a lot of folks coming in and coming in big groups and wanting to celebrate in your establishments?
So I don't see the big parties that want to have Christmas parties like we did prior to the pandemic. You're not having people call up and go, hey, can I bring in 15 people? You know, you are getting... we're busy, but it's not the people are out celebrating on a smaller scale. But there's a lot of smaller scale groups that are coming in as opposed to the wanting to, you know, to do a big party. We did bring back live entertainment, not both nights of the weekend in both restaurants, but we've brought back live entertainment. And I honestly don't know what the schedule is, but I know that people are dying to get out and live their lives again. We have Singo on Wednesday nights in the pub, and it's crazy the following that people, you know, they can win free pizzas or gift cards or something. People want to get out. So having an interruption in that right now is clearly not what anybody needs. But yeah, people want to get out. But on the other hand, there's a lot of people that are still very cautious. I mean, I have some employees that wear masks. We saw people coming in wearing masks. That's great. It's okay with me.
Yeah.
You know, all the better. But it's just different times out here.
It definitely is. The one thing that I've always complimented you on is your creativity. You and your family's creativity with McGuigan's Pub and the patio at McGuigan's, where there's always something new. There's a new menu item, or you're taking something off because you know what you want to. You want to, you know, pique people's interest when you do bring it back at a certain time. Has the pandemic kind of had you be hesitant to introduce something new to one of your menus or drink, drinks at your establishments?
So, yes and no. You know, we haven't done any big revamps of the menus. However, we have come out with a brand new lunch menu in the patio. Totally brand new lunch menu.
Do tell.
It's before we didn't have a lunch. We actually started a lunch menu about 2 weeks before we had to shut down. Literally. I mean, so we put it aside, and now that we're reopening for lunch, and our schedules have changed due to employment issues, you know, it's just wraps and sandwiches and stuff like that, but it's a totally new lunch menu. And being Christmas time, we have a whole bunch of martinis that are Christmas themed that my daughter and some of the bartenders have come up with, and people love those different kinds of martinis. But there hasn't been any real major changes, and we'll wait to see what happens.
This is the opportunity, knowing that it is the holiday season, and what I've tried to do the past couple of weeks when I have an opportunity, and I remember I tell folks that it's go and populate local businesses. If you don't know what to get that special someone, maybe they're hard to buy. I hate to say it, but gift cards are sometimes the easiest thing. And you know what? In a snap, hey, I've never tried McGuigan's Pub. Hey, I've never been to the patio. You grab somebody a $25 gift certificate, $30, $40.
But if you buy a $50, you get a $5 one free.
Yeah, that was good. You caught that.
Yeah.
That was good. That's why I was trying to climb the ladder.
Thank you very much.
You'd be able to say that. But talk about, I mean, it's easy enough. Now, if someone gets a $50 gift card, can they use it in either restaurant or just one of them?
Both restaurants. So actually, you know, we're selling a lot of gift cards. This week here, starting tomorrow, we will sell an extraordinary amount of gift cards because it is a great present. And, you know, people buy them for friends, relatives that know that they come into the restaurant or if they want to try something different, like you said. But we are giving a $5 for, you know, every 50. And, you know, people come in and buy $200 with the gift cards. They want $4.50s. Well, we're not giving them four. You know, you give them a $20 gift card. That's a night out. You know, $20 is, you know, not a full meal out, but it's worth coming in and doing sure. it. So it is a great gift cards, and we saw a lot of them.
Okay, if you just tuned in, we're speaking with Richard Rosen. He is not only a local businessman, but he's also a proud sponsor of this radio program. Now, he may not like the opening of the show because it's dated and has some folks that are in it, but again, he's very passionate about his establishment since we have him on a regular basis just to kind of talk about it, you know, knowing that, you know, you have success times two in the downtown Whitman area, which is something that's unheard of, that you have restaurants that are side by side, but it's definitely fantastic. As we're wrapping up here, anything that we haven't mentioned in regards to either one of the establishments, but you want to take a
moment? No, I just want to take this opportunity to thank, you know, all of the people that have come to our restaurants in the last year. Wish them well. Thank them very much for, you know, help sponsor our business. And, you know, when you come into our restaurants, it's helping a lot of people. It's helping the bartenders, the dishwashers, the waitresses. And I'm going to tell you something. People are extremely generous yeah. with the tipping that they've done because they see what these wait staff have gone through. Yeah. But I just want to thank, you know, all of our patrons for all the support over the years. And wish them all well and wish them a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
I apologize for the laughter. I just got a text message from the newsroom asking if you have yet named a sandwich after Mr. Tocci.
Actually, we're talking about it now. It's in the talking stages.
I got to give kudos to Christine. Christine was the one who sent me the text message.
And I apologize for not bringing pizzas, but we're not open on Mondays. So
she said, actually, it is time you name a sandwich after me.
Well, we'll talk.
Okay. Hey, you know, and while you're at it, if you're looking for other, I mean, Christine would also be another good one to, if you want to name a sandwich
well,
after
you know,
as well. She has spoke highly of your pizza anytime that we've had it here, so.
We might have to have a list of WATD personality sandwiches.
All right, don't go that far.
I mean, well, we have
myself and Christine. And,
well, I mean, we can't forget about Ed. I don't. Be careful, he's your boss.
Like the big code, the old troll burger.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
What would you put on that?
I don't know. That's bad.
That is bad. we'll ponder it.
We'll talk.
But again, I want to thank you for coming in.
And thank you for having me.
And I want to thank you for, and again, this is just a little public service announcement as we get ready to say goodbye to the first hour. We have a lot of folks who advertise on the station. First and foremost, a big thank you to the folks who advertise on for this radio program. Whether it's McGuigan's Pub, Richie Rose himself, Peter Brown, Tiny and Sons Glass, Jeffrey from Brennan's Smoke Shop, you name it, to all the other folks who advertise on this station who are local businesses, getting a gift certificate from their businesses not only is a great gift idea, but it also helps local businesses who have struggled for the past 2 years. So if you can keep that on the top of your top of your mind, if you're shopping and you don't know who to get for, think local. So with that, we're going to step aside. And when we come back, we'll speak with Mayor Robert Sullivan, 50th mayor of the City of Champions. You are tuned into Monday Night Talk here at 95.9 WATD.
WATD FM Marshfield, WBMS Brockton. This is the South Shore's radio station, 95.9 FM WATD. Streaming online at 95.9WATD.com. And with your smart speaker, just by saying play WATD. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tocci, on 95.9 WATD.
At Charmin, we heard you shouldn't talk about going to the bathroom in public, so we decided to sing about it.
Get ultra strong for your South Pole. Charmin keeps your undies whiter than the North Pole. A shiny, hiney, a brand new year. Call it a Charmin. Happy New Year.
Hey, a holiday season.
charming, clean, merry, and bright. May all your undies be Charmin Clean White.
Charmin Ultra Strong just cleans better. Enjoy the go with Charmin.
At Walgreens, we know the joy of the holiday season also has its moments. Like when it turns into, where'd I hide that gift season? Or the batteries not included season? Oh, every year. This holiday season, Walgreens makes it easy to quickly get last-minute gifts with pickup in as little as 30 minutes and delivery in as little as 1 hour. Because if it's the holiday season, it's Walgreens season.
Right now, get 40% off personalized photo gifts. Valid through December 25th. Restrictions apply. See walgreens.com/pickup for details.
By the middle of the week, so much news has come your way, you need your own team to sort it out. Lucky for you, there's Jared Valenzuela and the JV team to talk about the things you've heard and catch you up on some things you might not know.
I'm Jared Valenzuela. Join me and my guests as we have fun with current events and try to put things into perspective each week.
Sponsored by Representative David DeCoste and Corey Welch of Boom Realty.
Catch the JV team every Wednesday night at 6:15. Here on 95.9 WATD.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
And we return for yet another segment here on Monday Night Talk. And joining me, he is the, I've teased him with saying that he's the unofficial, but he has been named the official co-host of Monday Night Talk. He also is the mayor of the city of Champions, Brockton, Massachusetts, 50th mayor, Mr. Robert Sullivan. Mayor.
Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. Good evening, and thanks for having me on. It's always awesome to come on the show, and happy holidays to you and your family.
Happy holidays to you as well. We'll talk holiday stuff towards the end of our segment here, but how are you? Here we are. We've cruised to the end of 2021. Yes, we are in the full throes of the holiday season. How are you holding up?
Yeah, I mean, I'll answer that in two different ways. From a mayor's perspective, it's a daunting task as COVID numbers are still rising, right? It's everywhere. And the numbers in Brockton, we're over 460 dead, as I talked to you this evening. And some of these folks have been vaccinated, some of them have not been vaccinated. So, we're really ramping it up. I am really proud of the fact that Governor Baker and Lieutenant Governor Polito came down just a few weeks ago, and the three of us got booster shots at the Shaw Center, which again is now a regional vaccine/booster site. It's been taken over by DPH, Department of Public Health, and being administered by Brewster Ambulance. And I'm really thankful for that. So, again, all your listeners, you don't have to live in Brockton to get vaccinated. You can get a first and second shot there. You can get a booster there. I took my own two children there when they qualified. So, again, as a mayor, it's concerning that the numbers are going up. And my medical consultant, Dr. Herman, is monitoring it. He just presented before the school committee. And Dr. Eno Montesso, who heads up our Board of Health. So it's, we just have to follow what the medical clinicians are telling us what to do, Kevin. And when the governor and lieutenant governor were here, I said this, and I'll say it again. We're in the holiday season. The greatest gift that you can give yourself and your loved ones is to get vaccinated or get a booster. Simple as that. It saves lives, your lives and the lives of your loved ones. So that's my wish for the holiday season. And, as a dad, I'll take my mayor hat off. As a dad, the holiday season is always so special. And again, I have three children, and my wife and I, we're not able to celebrate it the way we wanted to last year because of COVID. We can do it a little better this year because we're all vaccinated. So I'm excited, Kevin. And we had a wonderful holiday parade downtown Brockton, and it was visited by many people, and it scaled back a bit. But listen, this is the time of giving, and I'm doing my toy drive right now. And I just want to thank everybody that's done that. So we are going to continue to do the work of the people here in the mayor's office. I was fortunate enough, as you know, Kevin, to be reelected. I'll be sworn in again on the 3rd of January. So we got a lot to do, and I keep saying this, we do it better together. So I'm going to be working with the city council and school committee and you, of course, because, your reach is wide. And I'm just excited to continue to lead Brockton in the right direction.
I think the thing I have to ask you, we're seeing states like New York, Rhode Island is considering it. I think that the Governor Charlie Baker has said that there will be no such mandate put forth, and I'm talking about masks. And it seems as though it's a controversial issue with a lot of folks. And we see even communities that have invoked it. Does Brockton consider doing such a thing? Or is it a matter of, let's just all get shots in our arms and we'll worry about whether or not we're going to have to put masks on if necessary?
No, I mean, I filed an executive order months ago. You have to wear masks in all city buildings and school buildings. It's mandatory. You can't come into City Hall without a mask on, vaccinated or unvaccinated. So, we are monitoring the process. I have spoken to the governor and lieutenant governor. She was just here again last Thursday as well. So, we have to monitor it. And again, we have to control our own destiny. And, you know, when I'm talking to you about 465 loss of lives in Brockton, I mean, that's just tragic and sad. So we need to continue to try to figure out how we can have a healthy, safe community. And, you know, we're not going to be through this for a long time, to be honest with you. So, it's batten down the hatches and continue to be diligent and vigilant. And in Brockton, again, we're a very diverse community. So we're reaching out to the pastors and we're doing it in multiple languages, Haitian Creole, Cape Verdean Creole, Spanish and English. And it's all hands on deck. So, it's something that had you asked me last Christmas if we're dealing with it, I'd say, no, I don't think so. I think we'll be through it, but we're not. And we're in the thick of things again. And I'll continue to be an advocate and I'll do whatever I need to have a safe Brockton.
So you've mentioned Governor Charlie Baker and Lieutenant Governor Karen Polito. They recently announced that, first off, the governor is not going to seek a third term. Karen is not going to seek higher office and run for governor. Knowing that you have had throughout this pandemic, I feel as though you've created a partnership with that administration. How did you take the news that they were deciding to just finish out their terms, just dealing with providing help to communities like Brockton?
Yeah, I mean, I've been very thankful to work with Charlie Baker and Karen Polito. And, I can't imagine what they have to deal with. 351 communities in the Commonwealth. You know, I'm just dealing with a major city in the Commonwealth. So again, politics and public service is a daunting task, especially when you have a family. Great sacrifice, your family. So, you know, it's a personal decision that people make when they decide not to seek reelection. But at the end of the day, I'm very thankful. We're different parties, right? They're Republicans, I'm Democrat, but we put that aside. I mean, we have been working diligently and collaboratively together. And, I'm thankful for what they've done. I'm thankful for their service to the Commonwealth. Thankfully, we have them for another year to continue to weather this tragedy known as COVID-19. But, Lieutenant Governor Polito was here last Thursday with Undersecretary Stolba to give Brockton and 16 other municipalities some MassWorks grants. And, you know, it's I can never fault anybody for seeking office. I can never fault anybody for not seeking office. And for those that want to step away, COVID changed everything, Kevin. It has changed everything. And it's a grueling, grueling endeavor every day. I mean, I come in every day and deal with COVID. And every day at 4 o'clock, I get a call, the death count, the sick count. So I can't imagine how magnified that would be in the governor's office, lieutenant governor's office. So, again, I just can say I'm thankful for their service to the Commonwealth and I'm not sure what the future beholds, but I'm sure they'll do something that will be enriching and filling. And you know, I'm thankful for what they've done for the citizens of the city of Brockton and the Commonwealth. And, you know, I'm really just saying thank you, governor. Thank you, lieutenant governor. You know, and then in terms of who's running for what, I have no clue. I have no clue. I just got off a race myself, and I was fortunate to get 72% of the vote in the city of Brockton. And I'm thankful for everybody that supported me. But, you know, we need to continue to, in Brockton and in the Commonwealth as a whole, deal with the health issue, right, deal with COVID, but also, you know, economics and development and making sure people get the services they need and, you know, education. And so, you know, We are, as public servants, challenged, to say the least, by the pandemic, the worldwide pandemic. But, you know, we have really good people that serve. You know, I am fortunate enough to know a lot of people throughout Plymouth County that serve and also throughout the Commonwealth. I just got back from a one-day mayor's conference down the Cape and 25 mayors were there. And we were able to talk about, hey, what's working well in Revere? What's working well in Everett? What's working well in Haverhill? What's working well in Brockton? What's not working well? You know, and so to be able to have a bunch of colleagues, a bunch of people that care about their own municipalities is exciting. But you know, here in Brockton, Kevin, so we have 11 city councilors and 7 school committee members. We have some new people coming on. It's exciting. We have 4 new city councilors, 2 new school committee people coming on. So I'm excited for 2022. And I'm really looking forward for the future of the city of Brockton.
I know you're talking local legislature. Well, the state legislature has been just talking about redistricting. Have you had a chance to sit down and evaluate how any shift may affect Brockton and what your representation would look like, whether it's your state senator or your state representatives?
Yeah, I mean, we're fortunate. So we have three state reps, right? And currently we have leader, state representative Clay Cronin. We have representative Jerry Cassie, representative Michelle Dubois, and state senator Mike Brady. And, you know, I served on the city council with Mike and Michelle. Jerry served on the city council, and Claire's uncle was the former mayor of Brockton. So Brocktonians through and through. And fortunately for not just Massachusetts and Brockton, but for the nation, it looks like Leader Cronin will be the next ambassador to Ireland. I'm excited about that. I mean, Claire grew up just a couple of streets away from me. I mean, this is amazing, and it's good for everybody. And it's great for her, and I'm really thankful for President Biden supporting her. And she's gonna hit it out of the park. She'll be awesome. But I'm also excited about the redistricting, because now there's a new district in Brockton, pretty much in the core of the city. And it's a new district, so there's no incumbent, and so again it's shifted a bit. So Representative Dubois only represents Brockton now, wards 4, 5, and 6. Representative Cassidy has expanded outside of Brockton. He'll have some of Easton and East Bridgewater and West Bridgewater. Jerry is a great advocate as well. He's great, and he used to serve with Senator Tom Kennedy, and when Tom was a state rep, Jerry was in there. And then Mike Brady's district changed as well. Senator Brady, it's changed. He's picked up Randolph. And I know Randolph really well. I mean, I used to be the town attorney there for 5 years. So, you know, I'm excited the fact that we will have a new representative, a new state rep. And as I said, everybody that serves on Beacon Hill and at City Hall and at the school, you know, the school department, they do it for a common purpose. And, you know, during my 14 years as a city councilor and my 2+ years now as mayor, it's like, hey, listen, we're better together. Let's work together. Let's roll up the sleeves. We don't always have to agree. But what we do agree on is a healthy, safe, thriving economic community known as the city of Brockton. And I had a regional call just last week with my friends throughout the county. And, you know, I say this, what's good in Halifax and Plimpton helps Brockton and vice versa. So I'm excited, Kevin. Some people say, Bob, why the heck did you want to run for re-election for mayor of Brockton? It's some people say a thankless job. I get a lot of satisfaction helping people, people that come into my office every day, no matter what it is, it's the most important issue in his or her life. And that's what I tell my teammates. And, you know, we'll just continue to do the best we can, Kevin. And so coming on your show as the unofficial official co-host is a thrill. I always love doing it.
And if you are just tuning in, we are speaking with Brockton Mayor Robert Sullivan, as we try to catch up with him every 4 to 6 weeks just to find out what is going on in the city of Champion, some of the things that they're dealing with. And it seems as though for the past 2 years, the conversation has trended towards talking about COVID. You had talked about the lieutenant governor visiting last week as part of an initiative to provide grant funding to multiple communities, including Brockton. What was the particular grant that Brockton is receiving, and what is the plans for that particular grant? What do you need to do with that grant to make sure that what you're receiving, you're using properly?
Yeah, I mean, so first of all, I'm just so excited that Lieutenant Governor and Undersecretary Stolpa came here. And again, it was wonderful because we were able to open up City Hall. We did it in a safe way. We really spread it out. We had the doors open. We had municipalities. I know some of my colleagues down in Hull were here. And so, again, it's the One Stop for Growth Awards initiative. Brockton actually got 4 grants, $150,000, $140,000, $222,000, and then $250,000. So at the end of the day, we received $762,000 in grants from Housing Choice and underutilized property. The Mass Works, which has helped Brockton in so many efforts. So, you know, what we're going to continue to do is improve the city, parking and circulation in the downtown area, and then other economic development endeavors throughout the city, Kevin. So, you know, to be able to get the community one stop, The whole purpose is for growth, right? And Brockton being transit oriented and having three commuter stops in Brockton, we're really ripe for success. And, you know, we've already had 300 housing units constructed, another 450 in the downtown. So that's 750 units. And then later in January, the first Black-owned brewery, Brockton Beer Company, will be opening up in downtown Brockton. So there's a lot going on. But again, I was happy to see the other municipalities here as well. And we had some people travel from the western part of the state to the City Hall, and was able to show them the beauty of City Hall with the artwork and the architecture.
The first part, you know, we're talking funding here. And I know that the state recently, I think the governor actually put his signature on a bill for the American Rescue Plan Act funding, which I believe the state will see between, what, $4 and $5 billion. What kind of a piece of pie is being cut for the city of Brockton? And are there discussions as to what will be done for those funds, which I know some of it could be infrastructure, and that there's a litany of items that you can apply it to?
Yeah, I mean, this is historic. I mean, this is once in a lifetime, all this money coming in. And I've said this before, I welcome the money. I'm going to spend it wisely. You know, I've been working with my partners in the city council. You know, we have already gotten $17 million from the ARPA, from the feds for this year. That was already received. Congressman Stephen Lynch, our great congressman, in talk of redistricting, thankfully, he'll continue to serve the city of Brockton, and that's awesome. You know, what I did, which other mayors actually had not thought of, I guess, when we talked at the mayor's conferences, I've done two things. I've done an online citizen survey. I want to hear from the residents. They may have some ideas out there that we haven't thought of. I also did that through my department heads. And then we did an online application for our religious and nonprofits because they qualify for recipients of ARPA funding. I set aside $2 million initially to help our nonprofits and religious organizations. It went live a week ago Friday. So getting a lot of excitement. We also brought on, we advertised through the Mass Municipal Association. We've hired someone similar to what a clerk of the works would do, but this is someone going to be helping us on ARPA because we're going to be multitasking a lot of projects. We're going to be really tightening up and helping City Hall. You know, we have a lot of water issues in this building and you know, we have to fix that. I also made a mandate. I want to fix the Council on Aging Senior Center, really enhance that, and the War Memorial. We owe everything to the veterans. So we want to button that up and make that nice. And, you know, there's a lot of money that we're going to be doing. The infrastructure money will be coming on. Will be helpful for our pipes. A lot of our underground pipes are from the 1880s and 1890s. So at the end of the day, my role is to work with my chief financial officer, Troy Clarkson, and continue to give updates with the council president. And I've already made a pledge. I'm going to come in once a month to give ARPA updates to the city council. City council and the mayor's office agreed they want me to get approval of any project that's over $750,000. And a lot of mayors said no, but I of course said, yeah, I want to work with my partners. So no big deal. You know, I'm happy to go in, and it's about transparency and collaboratively. So we have a lot in plans with the ARPA money, Kevin, and there's still a lot of things that need to be determined. And, you know, we're going to continue to work with our friends in the county. Treasurer O'Brien and the three county commissioners have gotten another pot of the ARPA money, and Plymouth County will benefit, and the city will get some of that as well. And again, I'm not sure exactly what Beacon Hill is going to dice out for Brockton, but I am just thankful for the advocates up there working on behalf of the City of Champions.
You mentioned the city council. It's probably worth noting that we're seeing the final days of a couple of city councilors who have served proudly. I know that Tim Cruz has already kind of stepped down in a way, but this was, you know, why he was serving during this term. Tom Monahan, who has served many years, and the dean of the council. What would you say in regards to those individuals who have served, and the new individuals who are coming in to take their place?
Yeah. So, I mean, Tim Cruz and I got elected in 2005. We got sworn in 2006. He was my counselor. I live in Ward 1. He was my counselor for 14, 15 years or so. And I see him every day. He's now here at City Hall. He was appointed the city clerk by the city council. So He hasn't gone that far. He's still doing his public service. And Tom Monahan, I grew up in Ward 2, and my mom and dad still live in Ward 2. And Tommy's was down right down the street from me on Manamet Street. I was on Wellington. So I'm going to miss him, his Irish wit. Again, he's not going anywhere. He's still going to help us. And, you know, I thank him for his service. He was a great ward counselor. And then Dennis, I mean, Dennis,
Ianeri, yep.
1978. I met with Dennis Ianeri in my office just last week, late last week. And he told me he ran in 1978. I was eight, and I was thinking about the blizzard of 78. I was thinking about running and knocking on doors. So I'm just so thankful to him. I mean, he served Ward 5 in school committee, of course, city council, Ward 3, and he was the council president, and just a good guy and really cares about Brockton. So he'll be missed. And then I also, of course, Tina Cardoza, she ran against me for mayor, and I applaud her. And so she is stepping down. She didn't run again for council at large. So, you know, I know she loves Brockton. So I thank her for her one term on the city council as well. So, you know, we're losing a lot of talented people. And the dean, as I call him, is someone that, you know, I learned a lot from. He helped me. But, you know, I can think back of other people that had served, you know, from Tom Brophy to Todd Petty to Paul Studinski, Linda Balzotti, people, Jim Harrington, people that served. And then for whatever reason, they decided either to seek higher office or to leave. And again, I just thanked them. They're my friends. And so I thanked them as friends. And, you know, on the school committee, Tom Minicello, Attorney Minicello, and Mark D'Agostino left the school committee, but they got elected to the city council. So, you know, Ward 1, where I live, again, is going to be represented by Tom Minicello. And he's a friend, and he's a great public service. Mark D'Agostino in Ward 3. So I'm excited to meet the new counselors. You know, I sent all of them congratulation notes and tell them I'm looking to work with them in 2022. So again, Kevin, it's Brockton's just a special place. And, you know, I talked to someone the other day that hasn't lived here since we graduated high school in 88. And he said, Bob, what do you think? And I'm like, listen, once you're a Brocktonian, you're always a Brocktonian. You know what I mean? I mean, if you cut my arm right now, I'm going to bleed red and black, because Brockton's it's just in me. It's who I am. And many, many, many people feel that way. I went to a Hall of Fame induction ceremony last Thursday night. And these were South Junior High, we used to call it, but South Middle School people. It was the first inauguration ceremony for Hall of Fame at a junior high middle school in Brockton. We're going to continue to do that. And these weren't all athletes. These were academics and people that have done really well. Linda Balzotti, first female mayor, was inducted. Paul Studinski was inducted. And, you know, just really good people, Kevin. So I'm excited about the future of Brockton. I'm excited about Plymouth County and the Commonwealth. But we have a lot of work to do. It's not going to be an easy task.
So as of today, you actually have 2 weeks to prepare your inauguration speech. What goes into, I mean, what went into your last speech 2 years ago? And I would think that it's going to be tempered with a little COVID and some of your thoughts moving ahead for the next 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, thankfully, my wife, Maria, is a wordsmith. You know, I'm really fortunate to have a wonderful wife. And, you know, she saves lives. She's a physician assistant. So, you know, and she's a great mother and a really great wife. So she'll help me. I'll draft it. It probably took me 3-4 hours to draft my last one for the first draft, and then some revisions. And then I had my wife help me as well. But listen, I do better talking off the cuff, to be honest with you. I just talk from my heart. And I'm a Brockton guy, and you know, some people say I have a terrible Brockton accent, but that's who I am. And, you know, at the end of the day, the message is working together, we can be better together. And I'm you know, I'll start working it in between Christmas and New Year's. And listen, it's not about me. It's about us, you know? And so I was just fortunate to be reelected. 2 year terms in Brockton are tough, but it is what it is. And I'm excited to continue for the next 2 years as the mayor of the City Champions.
And if you are tuned in, we are speaking with Brockton Mayor Robert Sullivan, the official, unofficial co-host of Monday Night Talk, as he usually gives us the lowdown as to what's going on in his great community. Let's shift gears and talk about the holiday season. Probably one of the unique things you had a chance to do as of late. I want to say last week. Hanging out with some New England Patriots and some Brockton children as there was a little bit of Christmas shopping that went on.
Kevin, it was awesome. 25 Brockton kids were selected by Brockton Public Schools. So Matthew Judon, outstanding linebacker, in my humble opinion, MVP right now on the defense. Carl Davis, defensive tackle. They sponsored this. And again, 50 kids, 25 were from Brockton. It was over in Walpole. I went over to the Walmart, and each kid was given a gift card, and they did a shopping spree. They literally, each child was given a shopping cart and said, go at it. It was awesome. And I think, you know, there was about 12 of the Patriots that showed up. You know, they are huge human beings, that's for sure. At least the linemen are. But it was what the holiday season is about, right? Brockton is not financially a wealthy community. We're wealthy with people. We're wealthy with talent. We're hardworking. We're blue collar. We're gritty. We're the boxers, right? That's us. But to be able to have generous professional athletes take the time, I met them, and you know, I just went up to them. They didn't know I was the mayor, and they were just really humble people, generous people. So, you know, I thank their foundation. Some folks from Baltimore came up, and Matthew again is his first year with the New England Patriots. So, I'm just thankful to be able to have been there and to witness it, and the smiles, even though masks were being worn, you could tell it in the eyes. These kids were, first of all, amazed that they were meeting New England Patriots, and Pat Patriot was running around, and the Brockton Enterprise was there taking photos. But listen, the holiday season is about giving back, and they exemplified what it means to care during the holiday season. So it was an awesome night. It really was.
This is where I get a chance to ask you about the holiday season yourself. And I'm going to talk about multiple holidays. I'm going to talk, obviously, Christmas. Going to talk about Festivus, because Festivus is in a couple of days.
Yes.
So if you have any grievances that you need to air, you can feel free to do so, or admit to any feats of strength that you might have been hiding all these years, and New Year's. So we'll start with the holiday season. Are you ready for the holiday season yourself as mayor?
So I have to continue to do shopping, if to be honest with you, right? I love the holiday season. It really is. It's about family. I'm very fortunate, and my wife Maria is very fortunate. We have our parents still with us, right? My mom and dad are still in Brockton. My in-laws are still in Brockton. So I didn't have that growing up as a kid. You know, I never met my grandfathers. They both had passed before I was even born. One of my grandmothers died when I was just a young kid, and then my other grandmother from Ireland, who lived in Brockton, passed, you know, when I got out of college. So to be able to, my children to have both sets of grandparents is unique, and it's rare, and it's awesome. I have siblings that live close, Taunton, Scituate, and then my brother's down in Connecticut with his family. So I'm excited to be able to celebrate. Again, we're going to be cautious because of COVID and the uptick and the Delta variant and all that stuff, but to be able to really see the joy on my own children's faces and my nieces and nephews. And that's what it's about, right? And I love Christmas, you know, but I also want to, I want all my friends that just celebrated Hanukkah, I want to thank them, because they had a wonderful celebration as well. I you know, and Kwanzaa's coming up, and there's a lot going on, right? And then the new year. So, Kevin, I have a lot to do as a dad in terms of shopping, but I do know that whatever each of you and your listeners celebrate, how you celebrate, whatever you do, make it special, because you don't know what the next day is going to bring.
Nothing for Festivus? You don't want to?
The only thing I am going to grieve, I'm going to grieve with you. I was hoping I was going to get that baseball hat that said unofficial official host. There was a promise made. I am a lawyer. I think there was a breach of this promise. You know, I was thinking you were going to take it out of a gift bag and show it to me, and I was going to scream on air how excited I was. So that's my grievance with you right now, Mr. Tocci.
Well, it wasn't a baseball hat.
Mr. Tocci?
I believe it was.
Was it like the Masters jacket? Was it going to be green, or the NFL Hall of Fame was going to be yellow?
No. It's going to be a coffee mug that is actually in the works.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. We'll see.
It's not Christmas yet.
For next Christmas. Okay. All right. All right.
Wait. We still have 5 days until Christmas.
All right. I have faith in you, my friend. Faith in you.
God help me. Anyways, how about New Year's? Are you an individual when it comes to New Year's? Do you make a resolution, or do you, myself, I'll do a list of things I need to be better at, this, and this, and by December 31st of next year, later in the year, I want to hope to look back and say, I achieved this. What do you do when it comes to New Year's?
Yeah, it really varies for me year to year. Quite honestly, when I was younger, I definitely made resolutions. You know, I'm going to go to the gym every day. I'm going to lose 25 pounds. You know, just different things, right? But now, you know, I'm 51. I have healthy kids. So, you know, I try to give back. I really do. I try to make a difference. I coach basketball, fourth graders right now with my wife, right? It's my wife played college basketball, and I better be a better mayor than I am a coach because we got blown out by 20 points last Saturday. So, you know, it's about really, in my humble opinion, the new year is about an opportunity to reevaluate and pivot at times. And some things you're doing extremely well and others you're not. And it's a self-evaluation, at least for me. What are some things that I can enhance in the next year? And what are some things that have been going well that maybe I can continue to do well? But I also am going to be losing 20 pounds and going back on keto. So there's no doubt about that one. But you know, Kevin, you know, I have lost this year three guys that I played Brockton High football with that passed away. And I don't take that for granted. So, you know, every day is a gift and, you know, make the most of it. And one thing about this job, and I say this to everybody that works here, family first, right? We're public servants. It's a job. We do it well. We have to continue to do it. But take time for your family. And my kids don't care that I'm the mayor of Brockton. They just want me to be a good dad. So that's my humble suggestion on what I'm going to do going forward. How about you, Kevin? What do you do for the new year?
Usually for the new year, I'll take a look at, like, one of the things that my significant other will say to me is that she'll mention things. And usually, again, you've said it. I feel that our significant others usually are in areas, they excel in areas that we need them to.
Yep.
Because maybe we're a little lax in that area. And my missus will say, you know, you are a little bit of somebody who likes to collect things. Maybe you should whittle things down. You know, don't be a hoarder. There's that. There's also financially. I try to make sure that my financial house is in order. Could I do better? Could I save more? And then the LB factor, you mentioned it.
Yes.
I'm times two as to what you mentioned. You said you need to lose 20 pounds.
Yes.
I probably could lose 40 pounds easy without even trying. So I will look to eat better, and I will look to trim down some of the things that I have amassed over the past 12 months to 24 months during COVID. So that's what I'll look to do.
And you're going to continue to ramp up this awesome show that you do. So I'm excited about that.
Well, the next thing I need to do is bait the hook and lure you in studio one of these days. But you are a very busy person. So
I make a New Year's resolution to you right now and to all your listeners that the next time you and I meet, we'll be face-to-face in studio in Marshfield.
Okay. Sounds good. Anything we haven't touched upon, but you want to at least take a moment to, whether it's something that's minor or even just information for any Brocktonians that are listening.
Yeah, I mean, again, if anybody listening needs a vaccine or a booster, come to Brockton, come to the Shaw Center, right? It's next to Campanelli Stadium, which is where the Brockton Rocks play. It abuts Brockton High School. If you need any help, call the mayor's office, you know, 508-580-7123. You don't have to be a Brockton resident, it's regional. But really, I just want to say thank you, Kevin, for what you do. You know, you don't have to do this. You do it because it's a passion, it's a love, and you do it extremely well. And I just want to, on behalf of my family, to you and yours and everybody listening, I'm just going to wish you a very happy holiday season and a healthy, and I underline healthy, I circle it, I highlight it, a healthy 2022.
Mayor, I want to definitely thank you for being my guest for this particular segment. One other thing I want to leave with our listeners, and that is, we didn't get a chance to cover it, is that the mayor does a lot of other media endeavors. If you haven't had a chance to see it, the mayor is actually a guest on a show that I produce called The Pizza Boys. And we actually, last summer, visited Cape Cod Cafe and the mayor and another well-known Brocktonian, Dave Wedge, were guests on the program with Alex Bazanson and Tim Chapin, as they sampled the pizza from the home of Bar Pizza.
Yeah, that was in August. That was an awesome event. And Alex and Tim were just great guys. And the Jamula's family opened up the doors. I've never seen so much food on a table. And Dave Wedge, again, he and I met in the seventh grade, New York Times bestselling author, David Wedge, who's been a guest many times on your show. And yeah, if you haven't, first of all, seen it, please view it. It's awesome. And thank you for producing it. And again, if you haven't tried a cod pizza, you're missing out. So maybe that should be someone's New Year's resolution.
Yeah. And remember, you don't have to necessarily go to Brockton. They have other locations. Right. And actually, right next door to the original Cape Cod Cafe is the manufacturing plant for their home pizza. And you can buy them, I think, in any grocery store locally. So.
That's right. They're frozen. You can throw them on the grill. We do that at my house all the time. They're awesome. And again, thank you for doing a plug for a Brockton business. And again, I want to thank you, Kevin, and have a happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and a happy, healthy new year.
He is Brockton Mayor Robert Sullivan. He has been our guest for this segment. We are going to step aside just for a couple of moments. But when we come back, I promise you, more Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
Is Monday Night Talk with your host Kevin Tachi on 95.9 WATD.
That truck, it pays?
What?
The bumper sticker on that truck says it pays.
Pays? Pays what?
I can't quite read it. Oh, it pays to stay way back.
Ah, what was that?
The truck, snapback or rock. Now I've got a broken windshield.
I'm Peter Brown of Tiny and Sons Auto Glass in Pembroke. It pays to stay way back. However, if your windshield is broken, just call 1-888-64-TINIES. And thank you.
Follow Monday Night Talk on Twitter. Start at 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. And don't forget to add hashtag Monday Night Talk to your tweets. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
We are pleased to have joining us for this particular program is someone who is from Bravo and also Below Deck Mediterranean, star Captain Sandy Yawn, who is here to talk to us about her newest, latest adventure. This is where she is going to be able to lead her ship tour. And this is something that's coming to 22 cities in and around the country. And I think this starts on January 28th of 2022. And we'll, again, 22 cities. Captain, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. Well, I'm hoping that the Boston show, I think, has been canceled, but I'm hoping that we can get it back up. I'm not sure why. I don't really have control over that. However, maybe I take control of it and then bring it back up. In the meantime, I love Boston. It is one of my favorite cities in America, Boston and Charleston, South Carolina.
What is it about Boston that you love?
The history. I take that Freedom Trail every time I'm there. I've done that Freedom Trail so many times. I'll tell you this, they have the oldest operating library in the country. I never knew this until I took that tour in Boston. Paul Revere really never made it. He was arrested. It was another guy that said the British are coming. And I don't know, I just love the history and the people, the flavor, I love Charlestown. I lived in Boston on a boat for a long time. Waterboat Marina, love that dirty water. Long Wharf, I stayed there.
How long have you worked in the maritime industry?
Over 30 years. In fact, my first navigation ever to learn how to drive a boat was the Boston Harbor. Because that tide is so extreme. And when that current runs, it is insane. When people complain about the current in the Mediterranean, I'm like, go to the Northeast or the Bahamas.
Wow, that's definitely cool. Now, did you ever envision yourself being on TV to be a skipper where you were? You've been for how many seasons now? More than six seasons under the watchful eye of millions.
I think five, right? Five. I think five seasons.
Okay. Did you ever think that you'd be on TV, or were you just like, I'm just going to be out on the seas and enjoying life? And
no, I never, I didn't think about TV. You know, I was just, you know, living my life, working on boats. In fact, I learned how to rollerblade in Boston, and I would go with my friend David Falcon all the way down Milk Street, straight down with all those potholes.
And it's no better today. Just to warn you, if you are coming to Boston, it's definitely no better. So how did the opportunity to be on a TV show come about?
Landed in my lap. I didn't seek it. It was a comedian, Monique Marvez, knew the showrunner or the producer. And they had dinner one night, and she's like, hey, I know a woman captain. And it was Nadine that took it to the network or the production company. That's how it happened. I had no idea about the show. I didn't even know it existed.
So you walk on, you know, you walk on to, again, you go and you're on a boat. You don't expect it to be like, you have crew, you have deckhands. Oh, we got a production team here too. You had to get used to that, huh?
Yes. You know, the first time I ever stepped on board, I'm a real charter captain. And I was like, whoa, you got to slow down your pace. Because cameras have to follow you. You can't, you know, we move fast. You know, our pace is fast. So you have to be, I'm always conscious of people around me, and you slow down your pace so these camera people can get around. But, you know, hey, Bravo's done a great thing. It's shown people out there maritime industry exists. Let's get some maritime people to work in our industry. And that's why I love Boston. It's basically a maritime city. It has a maritime academy. It's a maritime city. When you go out of that harbor, you could boat all day long with these different islands. That harbor, you know, it's the largest harbor in America, actually, the Boston Harbor. Like, that is one of the largest harbors in America. And you got to know how to navigate through the Boston Harbor. And, you know, I met a pilot. He drives these ships in. Larry, he owns that marina, Boston Waterboat Marina. And he told me, he goes, their test is a blank piece of paper, and they have to write on that chart. They have to do the chart of the Boston Harbor.
Amazing. People don't realize it. It looks a lot easier than when you actually have to do it. And there's so many things that you have to keep in mind when you're doing it.
Yeah.
So where did the idea of doing a national tour come from?
You know, my first season on Below Deck, I saw the fans' reaction, and I felt always hopeless. I always felt like a hopeless person. I got sober, and then I got hope. And what I wanted to do was to encourage people to believe in themselves, follow their dreams. And I started this I Believe tour. And then I met an agent who decided to take it national and kind of changed everything. And let's see how it goes. And if it doesn't work, I'm going to go back to my original thing, which sold out immediately. And, you know, it was wonderful because it wasn't, of course, we all want to make money in life, right? But it's like to take this platform and to be able to do something good for people and share my experience, strength, and hope, is pretty cool. And Bravo has a hand in that because they created this television show. They could have not put the show on the air. You know what I mean? That was their choice. The team as a whole, they're incredible human beings. And I am so grateful to be a part of it. And I'll keep doing it as long as I wake up with breath.
You're just tuning in. We are speaking with Captain Sandy. And we had to talk a little bit about her ship tour, which is going to be visiting some 22 cities, starting out on the West Coast, working its way over to the East Coast. You kind of talk about, like, folks don't really know a lot about your background. They see you as someone who has to have command of a ship, make sure that the chef is putting out, you know, whatever it is that, you know, your client. They don't understand.
It is stressful. That job is not easy. I'm telling you, it is not for the lighthearted. You have to have thick skin to be able to do what I do. Especially being on television. It's like so many people are so negative. I don't watch. I don't that negative crap. The minute I see it's something negative, I don't even read it. It's like it's so over there. You know, I love watching movies, and there was this one movie and he's like talking to Samuel Jackson. He's like, you know, right now it's all the hate that I'm feeling, which you should be really coming from your heart. You know, let go of the hate and come from your heart. And I just, that's me as a whole. The industry is not easy. It is a lot of work, a lot of demand. You have a lot of expectations, and you're dealing with the 1% of the world, the 0.1%. You're working for those people. And I just think, wow, I'm in a position now. I worked really hard to get to where I am. This, to do this show, the tour is to show people I was a mess. That's who I used to be. This is how I changed. And this is how I got to where I am today. Not television. In the maritime industry. This is not about TV, how I got on TV. If you want a career in television, go to acting school. That's my, you know, what I want to share. If you want a maritime career, then I'm here to talk to you about that. That's the difference.
I guess the idea is to talk about your personal life, because you were a survivor in so many aspects of the word, whether it's recovery, whether it's cancer, whether it's other medical issues, you are a survivor.
That's right. You know, I always say I'm God friendly. I love God. I've been saved so many times. When I got hit by a car and I was slipping in the air, I felt like I was going to go see my mom in heaven. And then I landed on the pavement. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? As I'm like in pieces, I look down and the only thing I could think of was, can I move? Am I paralyzed? I could move. Then the girl that hit me was standing over me going, are you okay? I go, clearly I'm not, as I'm bleeding internally. Call 911. Apparently she was actually, I don't know, I think under the influence at the time. I was going 70 miles an hour when she pulled in front of me on a motorcycle, which is not a good thing. I should have been doing the speed limit. And it happened so they could discover kidney cancer. And I'm like, couldn't there have been a gentler way to discover the kidney cancer? So my life was spared. And at the same time, what you see on TV is such a small portion of Sandy. I am a child. In so many ways, my spirit is young. My soul is a playful soul. I'm not so serious. And my sister, the first time she watched the show, and a lot of people are like, you're a micromanager because I'm helping. I'm like, my sister's like, she's not a micromanager. She wants to ride the banana. It was all about getting the banana out of the garage. And I'm like, she knows me, you know, because we grew up on the water. We did water sports our whole life. The minute I see water toys, I'm like, I'm in the water. I go down the slide. They don't show that. But, you know, there's only so much time that they can, so many hours they can air. It's edited down. But, you know, I'm very playful.
And another one of God's gifts is being a motivational speaker, being able to survive and share these stories with your audiences, right?
That's right. Yes. And I do a lot of corporate speaking. You know, I just did one in Fort Lauderdale with a massive company. And I didn't take some leadership academy course. I was kicked out of 12th grade. Oh my gosh, it was a mess. I learned the school of hard knocks. I lead with my heart, what's on my lungs, on my tongue. And I encourage, I don't discourage. And I try to improve upon even my own life and how I talk to people. I pause. I've learned this. Hey, listen, I'm 56. I didn't learn this overnight. This is a learning through the years of my experiences that I'm sharing with people, even in a leadership style. Because here's the magic. Just treat people how you want to be treated. It's that simple.
It is that simple. And I don't think people realize that these days. It's unfortunate that they don't realize that you will get out of something whatever you put into it.
That's right. I shared this with my partner. If it was easy, everyone would be doing it. We bought something and we're learning it. I go, it's always the learning curve. That's the challenge. So many people put it down or stop doing something because they don't want to put the time in to learn. Yeah. They get frustrated. Take a break, but come back and learn. Don't, you know, you buy something, a new gadget, learn it. You know, just don't take it out of the box and start working it. I read instructions. And if I'm starting a new job, I don't go in and I know everything. Every time I do below deck, do you know I step on a new boat I've never seen in my life? Has different controls, different bridge. I meet people for the first time. I don't go in there and go, I'm a captain, I know what I'm doing. I go, teach me. How do I turn this on? How do I activate this? How do I switch from the helm station to the wing station? I don't know. I go in and I say, how do I do this? And it's okay not to know. Work for a guy. He was just like this big giant and he was very rich. And I remember one time I went in his office and I heard him on a phone call and he said, take 15 minutes and educate me. And I went, he doesn't know, you know, the guy that knew everything. And I was really young and that lasted forever. Take 15 minutes and educate me. Take 15 minutes and show me this bridge and teach me.
Life's about though. I feel that we, you know, the success in life is every moment that we are breathing in air is we should be learning something.
That's right. And check your egos at the door, right? I mean, I think that's just the biggest thing for many people is the ego. It's come from a place of humility, you know, like it's okay not to know. It's okay to let someone else win. You know, doesn't mean you're a loser.
Not at all. My understanding also is other than you sharing intimate things about yourself and interacting with your audience, there's going to be special musical guests. Now, are you at liberty to discuss or is this still in the planning stage?
You know, that's changing because of the variant. But next year, hopefully, I'll have the guests I want to have. I'll do music. It'll be from me. But here's what I'm doing. I'm actually going to interact with the audience. So three people from the audience will be coming on stage. They just don't know who they are. So when they sit down, it's going to be a surprise. And it's a conversation with Sandy, not Captain Sandy. So you're meeting Sandy, not the captain. And that's really what I want people to feel. It's a more intimate conversational style show. It's not, you know, me up there teaching. It's an interactive show. And that's really what I want from people is to say, we're all from all walks of life. Like, I don't know what's going on in their household. Whatever happens in your household is actually how you show up in life, right? So how do you change that mindset? Now, I always say a lot of times in my cabin, and my crew are giving me a hard time or I have to deal with something, I'll play a song that changes my mindset. It's a reset. So reset your mindset by playing a tune that works for you. And I share this. Someone tried to sue me for a lot of money and I played that song Rise. I played it every day as I was doing the audit. You know, I proved my innocence and it was that person apologized to me 2 years later. But it felt good. You know, I was like, I knew in my core that something was going on. And then I proved it. And I just played that song and it made me empowered to keep going. It powered me. It's like a fuel cell inside your body. And music is my fuel.
You mentioned the variant and it being a deterrent to what was originally going to be done when it came to guests. How has COVID change your life, whether it's someone who is, you know, doing a TV show or somebody who is planning a national tour like this? How has it affected you?
You know, it's the mental more than it is the physical, isn't it? So for me, I watch my family members and how it affects my nieces who didn't get to graduate in front of an audience. Her family couldn't be there. That's how I'm affected. Me personally, listen, I'm at an age where I can find things to do where keeps me busy, right? I ride my motorcycle or go hike a mountain or go water skiing. Like it's how it's affected me is how it's affected my watching my nieces and nephews, the younger generation. That's the part that grabs my heart. It's like these kids, they were robbed. It robbed them of graduation with their friends and family. It affected my family members to the point where one of them's not even going to college now. I'm like, what do you mean? You know, and I was so upset. And I said, you have your dorms all sorted, did not go. And that to me is so troubling. And I know I'm not the only one out there, or my nieces, that was my great niece. My niece is not the only parent parent that's experienced that. So it's to be able to give these parents hope and help them to navigate that, because these kids are our future and our planet's future. And by the way, we want it to stay, you know, we want them to be able to succeed and breathe clean air. And so basically it's about, that's how it's affected me, is through my family. That's not personally, because I have a life, you know, that I can figure out what to do. Even if I can't film, I can still deliver a book.
Is this going to be video production free, or are you going to have a production team out capturing special moments of your tour?
Maybe, you know, I haven't really given that any thought. Maybe I should. Great idea. See how it works? It's ideas from other people. You're like, well, I could try that on.
Anything that we haven't touched upon in regards to this, this fantastic tour that you're going to be doing, coming up starting in January?
No, it's just going to be raw and real. And, you know, I love people like you because you have no agenda here. You genuinely want to know, and I can feel that from you. So thank you for that. And I'm just here to help through my storytelling, really. That's it. And connect people to the maritime industry. And I love Boston. I really want that show to go on there. So I'm going to do whatever I can to make this work, even if the venue changes.
Now, is there a possibility of a Captain Sandy book down the road? I feel a book.
Maybe. Just stick around for January. You might hear an announcement.
Okay.
I'd love to have it. You know, yes, of course I'm working on a book. It's been a long time coming, but I honestly didn't want to just have something, write something and put it out there. It's a long time coming, and January, let's see what happens in January.
Okay. And if folks want to find out more about the tour, is there a
CaptainSandyYawn.com, my website, CaptainSandyYawn.com.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being here. Well, I want to thank you for being a fantastic guest and allowing me this opportunity to share with folks about your tour, her Lead Her Ship tour.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I appreciate you. Thank you.
And we want to take a moment to thank some of the folks who appeared on tonight's radio program, not only State Rep Josh Cutler, but my co-host for the first hour, which was local business owner Richard Rosen and Mayor Robert Sullivan. Just something real quick that I want to note here before I say good evening to you or goodbye to you for the night. And that is when it comes to, if you're still looking for gifts and there's some, you can't think of what to get for that special person in your life or that may be on your lengthy list for your particular holiday, I would say is shop local. First and foremost, the folks who are kind enough to spend money and make this radio program possible. That's McGuigan's Pub, The Patio, Tiny and Sons Glass, Brennan's Smoke Shop, Signature Healthcare. While they're not a business, it's just something just to make sure these are organizations and individuals that or businesses that actually advertise to make this radio program possible, but also all the other sponsors that are on 95.9 WATD and 1460 WBMS. Think of it this way, you can go to a big box store, you can go to a Walmart, you can go to a BJ's. Again, name one of those bigger stores, you can go to a Kohl's, or you can help out some of the local businesses. Knowing that the past 2 years, a lot of these folks who operate these small businesses have struggled. Going and buying a gift certificate for that special person on your list isn't only just a win for you and one last person you have to shop for, but it's a win for that local business and the individual that you are giving that gift certificate to. So definitely please keep that in mind. I want to wish everybody who is tuned in this evening happy holidays, whether it's a Hanukkah, whether it's, and I know that's already passed, but Christmas, Kwanzaa, you name it, Festivus. May you enjoy your holiday. Merry Christmas to one and all. And until next week at 6:15 p.m., have yourself a great night.